26. Time is 6:34. Start with a roll call.
Tommy Boston, EDA.
Matt Dingy, EDA.
Bob Bessel, EDA.
Tom Wagner, EDA.
Dave DeFusco, EDA.
And Neil Pate is with us from town staff. And I believe Jen Diedrich will be joining us a little late. We'll announce her arrival when she gets here. No members of the public, so we can skip over public comment. So jumping into our discussion items, number one, the strategic plan. I can't imagine there's an update, but if we could leave it up to you to kind of keep us honest and on track, and if we're falling short of goals or not really adhering to our mission or anything of that nature, please keep us honest and on track, if you wouldn't mind.
No, that sounds great. I think for now, all the pieces are moving and everybody's running with it, and so I think we're in good shape so far.
Great. The facade improvement program, discussion item number two. I was going to wait for the budget to pass, which it did, before I got on the Board of Selectmen's agenda. I filled out a agenda meeting request form. If you could just look it over, make sure I'm not missing anything. But more importantly, I wanted to make sure you were in the loop.
Yes.
So you didn't get blindsided by it. But there are three meetings. Is it okay that I do that? Put three meetings? Because I really don't care. I just want it to be...
No, I think it's okay. They're going to schedule it at their discretion anyway, so you're just making sure they're aware you're available for those dates.
Yep. So there are three meetings, upcoming meetings. I think I skipped July just because we have the, if it's still happening, we're meeting the POCD update committee. We're going to go over the survey and the other deck. So I figured let's focus on that, and then I think it was one of the two meetings in August and maybe one in September that I offered up as being good. So as soon as I hear in terms of which meeting they put us on, I will let everyone know. And I think the timing is actually pretty good because there's development momentum in the Village Shops, and I think this is a good opportunity to potentially capture some of that momentum and expand it across the Route 44 corridor. So I think the timing of this is pretty good. If there are no other questions there, or any questions there, going on to the Axe Factory. Neil, I don't know if you have anything to offer this month.
No, I don't have any updates on it this month.
Okay. And then, does anyone have any comments or anything on the Axe Factory? There was a piece. Should we talk about that piece that you sent me and I had seen as well?
Sure.
On social media? I forget who wrote it. But someone wrote a piece on Canton being a great little quaint town with a lot of character, so on and so forth. And it was very well written. It shone Canton in a very positive light. They did focus on the Axe Factory, which I thought was important to talk about. But we can forward that to everybody after the meeting.
Okay.
But I think it was someone local to Connecticut.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote it. It was on familydestinationguides.com. It was written by Charles Hayes. I do not know. But
H-A-Y-E-S.
And it's actually kind of lengthy for one of those embedded articles. It's embedded around a lot of ads. But it kept going and going.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of more comprehensive than I anticipated.
But they talked about the Axe Factory almost like it was in the future version of what it's going to be. With shops and apartments and all that, obviously not quite there yet, but
it might be an idea. I get a lot of questions about Axe Factory because I see a lot of public, and it kind of goes in waves. Interest in what is it? Is anything happening at the Axe Factory? So we're in one of those. It may be time to ask our friends, the Tilney sisters, to. Do a little update.
Yeah, I think that'd be great if they if they're willing and have time to do it. That'd be fantastic. And maybe after that meeting, we could even come up with a Q&A, something that we can have at our disposal.
Yeah, because
regarding the project, where it is,
they're very thorough. They'll answer and they're forthcoming. I mean, they don't hold anything back.
No, I like that. I can reach out if you have going contact with them too. If you want to reach out,
I'll reach out.
Okay, that's a good idea, Bob.
All right,
thanks for that. The trail extension, anything there, Neil?
No, unless there's something buried in my messages I haven't gotten through. I've been out the last 2 weeks, and then the 2 weeks prior, I had not heard anything on it. I had been communicating back and forth with the Jeff Curley, the Vice President of Development over there, and he had shared with me it had gone through the lender successfully, the review of the easement, but I don't know where this, what the status is as of today.
Just so you know, Neil, I got some questions from the Fran. I can't remember last, Gutzman or something, from the Farmington River Trails Council, wondering kind of what's going on with, you know, the CROG proposal, and I'm sorry to report that I referred her to you.
Okay.
And, but I said that, you know, maybe we, the three of us could schedule a meeting and just kind of bring her up to date.
Okay. Happy to do that.
Okay, community outreach, nothing really with the residents, although the community survey will present that at the POCD meeting. Tommy, the link you sent out for the business survey, I don't know if you got a good response from
here. I did.
Your...
I got four responses. I appreciate the clever company names. It was good. But everything came in. I mean, I'll just kind of, you can see from there, it's really clear and easy to see. It's really well organized. It breaks it all out. There's some really good stats in there. And I think we'll be able to get a lot of really good information from these. These strongly agree to strongly disagree ones had a lot of great information too. So just let me know next steps.
So if we can get a PDF of this actual survey to Neil.
Yep.
And then Neil can socialize it with Kevin Witkos.
Okay.
And then once we have his blessing, then we can send it out.
Awesome.
I don't know if it makes, obviously you have some email addresses.
Yeah.
That's helpful. I don't know if it makes sense to do like a social media blast or a town email to say, hey, if anyone owns a business, here's a survey we'd love for you to fill out.
Totally. I think that would help. Whoever gets kind of the emergency updates or the meeting alerts or anything like that, if it can go through
Get a list from the clerk, from the town clerk.
And we can send it through what we got from the state and that, and I think we'd have good coverage.
Yep.
Yeah. We might need a couple of reminders that, hey, you know, we're this, it's, you know, it's closing, you know, get
right.
in there, get a lollipop, whatever.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think when we did the community survey, there were you know, two or three follow-ups saying, hey, it's going to close on this date, you know. So yeah, what I, your feedback? So
what I could do is I'll do a PDF of the survey itself for Kevin's review, and then I can just draft a couple basic reminder text things that can go out with it for those email blasts, too, when I send that.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm excited to see the results.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think that covers it.
Great.
Thank you guys for checking it out and responding.
That's good. Anything with developers?
Not too much. I reached out to Rich Correa. We're playing telephone tag a little bit. Met up with a guy named Ted Schaefer. He's former first selectman at Burlington. He's been working in economic development up in Winchester, Winsted area. And now he's head of the Northwest Chamber. So he and I are going to get together. He's very knowledgeable. Not quite in our area, but adjacent. So I think he might be fun to have here.
Yeah.
The developers he's dealing with are some of the developers that we're dealing with. So, or would like to have here.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
okay.
Be good. So I want to keep a few things in the mix. And as they, if we have somebody to come here and talk to us and educate us on stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, absolutely. Any luck connecting with Bizzuto's, reconnecting with Bizzuto's development guy?
I did not go after Bill. I will. I think when our friends at Canton Village actually submit their application, that's going to be the moment when I can reach back and say, here's what they're proposing, you
right.
know, just so you know.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like, if not now, when?
Well,
right? I mean,
right? Yeah. The synergy is there. The momentum's there. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's going, you know, from everything I can see, it's going to be at the time of their choosing. And I think they want to see how it all goes. I would not be surprised if we don't get a positive word from them for a year or two. Until there are actual shovels in the ground and stuff is up and running. I think that will be the time when we'll say, okay, this is real, it's happening. Let's see how we can best plug in. And I think that would be my guess.
Right.
But we'll see.
I think that's probably more likely than them jumping in now. And one of the unfortunate things with that is if they jumped in now, we could actually plan together and work on a more ideal layout and more connections and, shared, it would be a benefit all over the board. But I don't think that will happen. I think we're more likely to do exactly what you said, wait and see the shovels get in the ground, see other people spend money, invest before they say, okay, there really is something here. We should probably think about jumping in.
I mean, I'll put that out to Bill, and see what he's up to. I'll put it on my list. Put him on my list.
Canton economic backdrop, I don't really have much to share today other than I'm still going through collecting data, but I will have something to share in a meeting or two. We could skip over 7 since Jen is not here. Marketing. So Dave and I had a conversation with John Bishop, who's the assistant superintendent. And I thought the call, and please jump in, because I'll probably forget or butcher something, but I thought the call was very productive. There's definitely an interest on his side to form some sort of relationship with the EDA that students of interest can benefit from. Producing Make a Canton posts could be one of them, but he also seemed to have bigger things in mind too. I'm not quite sure how that fits in with what we're doing in capacity that we have, but it certainly seems like he's ready to socialize it with faculty and kind of see what's there. So what he's asked of us is to create almost like a program summary slash job description kind of a thing. And Dave took a stab at it, and I thought he did an awesome job. It was posted today in the Dropbox. I don't know if anyone happened to see it. If not, if you could just give it a look through and say, send Dave any feedback in the next couple days to a week, that'd be great. And then we can send it off to John and kind of see where it goes from there.
And he wanted to reconnect in mid-July.
Yep. So a very good meeting, and I think there's an opportunity to get the schools involved in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Anything else to add on that? Where are we? Canton Village redevelopment. So they met one more time as like a feedback kind of a meeting.
Yeah. They came back to planning and zoning last month, and they really what they were doing. And I think I should send all the plans out to the EDA members as well. They were trying to get feedback. Planning and zoning wanted to see the coffee shop with the drive-through, try to get closer aligned to the main street portion of the village, and maybe even try to create a more symmetrical balance between the building across the central drive. But it's very, very hard to work out with the drive-through location. I had come up with some sketches. Tommy was nice and actually, spent some time looking at it too. Because you have to make sure the driver's side window faces the drive-through, really limits the amount of flexibility you think you have in the area. You actually have a pretty good size area to work a lot of different layouts, but as long as you don't worry about where the driver's side window is, and once you figure out where that has to go for convenience factors, it starts to limit the layout. But anyway, they came up with three or four different layouts that they brought to planning and zoning, and they got some really good back and forth feedback and comments on it. And I think they got some good direction. So they left that meeting with the idea that they're planning to submit sometime in July with a comprehensive design district, which is our hole in the regulations where you kind of propose a master plan for a property and then zoning regulations to achieve that master plan. and then you basically modify the regulations that are in place over a collection of properties collectively with the Planning and Zoning Commission. And so it's a big process, but we've done before on a number of different sites, but it works well because it allows you to accommodate something that doesn't exactly fit your regulations, but it also gives the commission a lot of discretion and control in saying, okay, what's going to be where and how it's going to look and things like that. And then it also binds the developer to achieving that vision that's in the master plan. So it's kind of works out really well when you have a cooperative party for that. So that's basically what's being proposed. And I think because vacation schedules and problems and the time it takes to put that together, they're looking to have the application come in late July, but then the public hearing for that would be late August. The idea would be to cancel the regular planning and zoning meeting. That'd be the third week of August, third Wednesday of August, and move it back a week to the fourth week to accommodate a variety of those factors. So that's where we are with that.
If schedules or permit, EDA attendance would be awesome. I'm going to try to make any meeting I can. But I think this is an important one.
Yeah, as soon as I get a package, I'll send it out to everybody too.
I imagine there's going to be voices on both sides of the spectrum on this one from the public.
Yeah, this one's an important, really important one. The X Factory is still a long ways off.
Yeah.
This is real.
This is happening.
Yeah.
So going back to the coffee shop building,
drive-thru,
is there any interest in moving it to the other side of that so-called Main Street so you alleviate the
It seems really to be fixed to be in that location.
Someone has their heart set on that spot.
And I don't know. Maybe it works well because, I mean, the highest functioning part of that whole site would be the drive-thru, which, you know, they're building off the old McDonald's. I mean, that's what was there. And I think it also allows them to make right turnouts without having to then cross in front of the main traffic signalized intersection. You can get in through the signal and make a right out, you know, farther east of the signal, which probably helps. But I don't know. Well, they didn't explain all those factors. That's what I'm kind of speculating. But they seem to be really fixed on that
portion of the site. I will say this. I was looking at the maps that you socialized with us last month, and I was looking at the traffic patterns, and I was a little concerned that it's going to be maybe as equally as convoluted as it is now.
It's not simple.
No, it's not.
You know, but,
and maybe there's just no easy, quick way to do it.
But. Yeah, and to be honest, I don't want to... I'm okay if traffic patterns are challenging as long as they're tight, right? And I don't want to... The problem is now is it's wide open traffic confusion, and you have so much room to move your vehicle. You don't know where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You tighten it all down where you only have a couple options where you're supposed to be. You might not like that I can't cruise through it really fast, but we don't want people cruising through it really fast. One of the big things I've been talking about with them, outside of meetings and at planning and zoning is making sure people feel comfortable leaving their apartment and walking to the coffee shop and walking to the rooftop and walking, you know, to whatever is going to be, you know, where the post office is, wherever it gets relocated to, whatever. All that stuff needs to be comfortable for people who are either have gotten out of their cars, living there, working there, or, you know, frequenting there as a consumer. That all has to work for people once they're out of their cars, and that's going to be prioritized for it to really kind of have that village feel we're hoping to get. And it's not ideal because there's property line issues and ownership issues that are keeping it from being as nice and villagey as we'd like, but I think they're trying their best to achieve it given all those challenges. But yeah, I mean, motor vehicle stuff is really kind of crazy there now. It doesn't seem like it's going to be perfect in what they're proposing, but it's got to be safer. It's got to be better than what we have now.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do much to get a big improvement to what you currently have. So
yeah,
that's the good
news. We don't want it to be a nice place to drive through fast. That's for sure.
No, of course not.
We've heard many complaints from previous owners that's exactly what happened.
But I have heard a lot. Like most of the things I hear about are traffic. Like, I want to make sure the traffic problem's fixed. And the way in which people are saying it, the context hearing it in any way, and it could be my inference, is they're expecting traffic to still flow through the site really freely, but have it make sense. And those two things don't always work hand in hand, So we'll see what happens.
On a somewhat related note, I was driving through the north end of Hartford a couple weeks ago on Main Street on 44. And, you know, they redid the streetscape there bunch of years ago. And what I didn't realize, because when I would go to Hartford, I would take Homestead, so I would bypass that area, is that it's actually a one lane on each side with a middle kind of passing turning lane, or maybe just turning lane. And I'd have, you have to think like car volumes in that stretch of highway or road have got to be on par with what we have here.
I would think so.
Right? I mean, more. It can't be much more. Less.
Yeah, it's got to be
if
more.
If anything, more. Right?
Yeah, more.
Well, it depends. It depends because I don't know if that people continue down Albany, you know, as like a thoroughfare the way they do down Homestead. Homestead's like...
Do they get absorbed into the grid, somewhat of a grid?
Yeah.
I mean, when you come in from the west, I mean, you're either going down Homestead or you're going up north to, what's the name of that road?
Asylum.
Westerly?
Asylum. People think Asylum, too.
Yeah. Just Westbourne, I think.
Westbourne.
And precious few go through because they're more locally focused, unless they're going out to a gang or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe, you know, folks, there are other ways to get around it. Maybe the volumes aren't as... Because in my head, I'm like, man, if traffic volumes are equivalent to what we have, then isn't there a part of 44 in Canton that could be reduced down and to slow?
Well, you need those alternate venues. I mean, it's kind of like what they've done in West Hartford with Farmington Avenue. You know, if you didn't have Boulevard, if you didn't have Albany Turnpike, you wouldn't have... You wouldn't be able to choke it down and slow down the traffic on Farmington the way they've done. You'd need those alternatives, and unfortunately, we don't have them.
Yeah.
Avon has them, but we don't.
Right.
So it's showing here, I'm at the annual average daily traffic on the DOT open data site, and I just picked a segment once it starts getting congested in Upper Albany as you're approaching the downtown, and it shows the annual average to be, you know, from 14 to 17,000 ADT, right? So up near us, it's like 25-ish, and it used to, or 22, it used to be almost 36 for a while. Let me go back and see what it's showing.
I don't know if it was ever 36. I think 36 was down by the shops, and used to compare.
What's the date stamp on that one, Neil?
I scrolled off it, sorry. Let me just see what it is at the shops.
The shops was like 22.
The shops right now it's showing 23,000.
Okay.
I thought it was up in the 30s at its peak.
Okay.
Well, it has come down. That was a stat that we had pointed to.
Yeah. But the time
has come down that much.
Time of day is really critical. Time of day is really critical. I think your westbound traffic from 3 o'clock to about 5:30, crazy.
And this is the average, the average number I'm reporting. So.
I take Homestead every day. I never take Albany.
Yeah.
I never used to either.
Never.
But this one day, I was like, why not?
Trying to lose.
Yeah.
I hadn't been through there in a while. And all of a sudden, I went through and I was like, wow, you know, it was so much different. But I think, you know, it also makes you pay attention to some extent, too, because you're kind of choked down and you have to be looking left and right as you're going through there.
Yeah. I mean, the streetscape itself is nice.
It's an improvement. Yeah, sure. It's a big improvement.
Huge improvement.
I think they're improving, you know, Homestead too, quite a bit.
Are they?
I think so.
I think they did the initial like apron going in, you're in a car wash,
but
and then it just kind of like
the
factories, the Salvation Army, and all that.
Homestead in the same stretch, you know, comparable, like parallel to the segment I just was is over 13,000. So both of those together are taking, you know, more than what you have in.
Yeah.
44 here.
Boy, I thought Homestead would be more than that.
Well, you know, the commuter traffic is just not what it was.
Yeah, if you were to run that in like 2019, I wonder what it would be. Because I would be on there twice a day.
Sure. Yeah, would anybody have come in from this end of the neck of the woods?
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, sorry for getting us off topic there. Anything else with... redevelopment of Canton Village?
Nothing else that I can think of off the top of my head.
One question, I don't want to derail everything because we can get out and we can actually watch the game.
Right.
You know, I was talking to somebody over at, who was in the old, I'm just going to call it the old Freed Plaza, where Dogologies and everything. And that seems to be getting occupied. I mean, I think it's close to 100% now.
Oh, wow.
And the owners are actually making some improvements and whatnot. So I know you and Neil, you and I have talked about a little road or a little path that's at the very northern end of that, you know, before you get to the wetlands.
On the southern end,
you're right. Yeah, southern end. As like a secondary access, so that people can get out of there a little bit easier. You know, because that's been a big impediment, I think, to development there.
Left turns.
Yeah.
Where would that take you? From behind there? Where
well, it would take you behind the pizza place. It would take you out to the Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
So it would be a little better, not great. I mean, it would be wonderful if you could get out to Canton, you know, if you get egress out to Canton Springs or something like that, but I don't think you can do that because there's a cemetery in the way.
But yeah. Parallel to the trail behind the dealership.
And that's the other thing, if there could be like a little footbridge or something from the trail to some of these properties, be huge, absolutely huge.
Yeah, the trail business connection is lacking in a big way.
Yep.
But that's an underutilized connection.
Yeah, I don't know. That is an ideal location to have a trail connection, and I mean, all the time when we talked about you know, where Dish and Data is. When we met with him when he bought that property, we had, you know, encouraged him to do some sort of outdoor patio, build it on the back so you overlook the trail or get close to it. People can hear, like, you go to any rail trail and you hear people dining or eating or whatever, you're like, ooh, what's that? And you want to go, and it's a win-win.
But you've got elevation there, though. Don't you have like an 8 or 10 foot?
Yeah. They have an elevation increase there. And then the other one, is it 401? No, 166 Omni. That has the wetlands and the brook, so you need a decked, you know, system to get to the rail trail.
That one, I think, is more promising.
And then you could also connect that. Freed also own where the Thai place is.
Okay.
Right, and that goes all the way back deep and connects side by side with the 166.
You know,
both
they
of those
might,
could share an access.
They might be more amenable. I mean, what you need is that first mover. Yeah. You know, the one that says, yeah, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
If I was a business owner, and especially if I had like a food type of establishment, I'd be looking to blaze a trail and putting like a sign and a menu right out on the for passerbys.
Yeah.
Right.
The biggest thing is staff. Staff is just such a killer. You can get enough people, you know, to be able to, you know, divert the people from the dining room to that. You know.
Yeah.
You can talk to them. Just see what they think. And they're nice folks.
Yeah.
They're all nice folks.
Yeah.
I wonder if that could be like rolled into the facade improvement.
Yeah.
Money to connect your plaza or your business to the trail.
Could be. I think it's easy. I don't know exactly how this all works, but when I've looked at us doing it in the past, just like kind of preemptively building up to the prop line, one of the issues we run into is ADA, you know, we're supposed to try to, you know, be ADA compliant, make sure it's ADA accessible to everywhere, and it's very difficult to do that. But there's so many of these trail connections that kind of have happened just over the years where there's steps or stairs and things, and there is no ideal perfect path, which is unfortunate, but at least they're there, and then maybe you figure out how to fit the ADA and afterwards once it starts being used. I don't know, but you know, I want to make sure everything's done properly, but that has always been a challenge, trying to figure out how to do it when you have a 10-foot grade change between the trail and where you want people to get to, and you only have this much width to work with.
It's really tough.
You can't do a switchback, you know, you can't.
No, it's not like the boat launch. But we could, behind Dogology, I think we could.
I think that's closer to grade. That's less than flat, actually. It actually goes negative into the swamp. So,
okay. So would that be something that the town would foot, or would that be a public-private partnership?
The only thing we could do is, if we wanted to and had the funds, we could build connections up to the common property line on the town side. But we can also give people permission to build on our side, also if they were interested, right? So then they have to figure out how to do it on their side, or I don't know, maybe that is some other form of a connectivity grant we could pursue in the future. But again, when you start using state money or federal money, you start having to trigger all compliance with all those other standards that get to be, you know, difficult to actually achieve.
Mm. If you pull into green papaya and you just keep going back, does that lead to that as well?
Yeah. All the way, we'll go straight back.
But I think it's like, it's pretty well grown in, right? At the back of that property? I haven't gone back.
It is, but it's still actually, it goes back pretty far before you get to that grown in section.
Yeah, at the back of Dogology, it looks like from the paved edge to the center of the trails, 75 to 80 feet.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Wooded area.
And there's wetlands back there too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not insurmountable.
Right.
But that's, you see, it's unfortunate, you know, that Dogology is back there, because that would be like a really nice pub kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, generate a little bit more, you know, a little, just enough noise and enough light to, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, all the pet owners would embrace the trail too if they could walk totally in and out that way.
Yeah.
We've taken the dog Dishon Dat up the embankment and stuff. You could sit outside with the dog there, but it's hard to get to. It's not forever.
Yeah, Dishon Dat is unfortunately, that embankment is a problem.
Yeah. And the biggest problem, not the biggest problem, but the challenge is, like, the biggest property on our frontage along this whole segment is Phil Davidson, you know, from Davidson Chevrolet, and he owns an awful lot of property back there that's, you know, usable. He's got almost 500 feet of frontage on the trail.
Oh.
And he goes all the way back along all that 500 feet. So I remember when I first got here years ago, I mean, this was like 2007, 2008, we talked about him possibly doing something back there, but he was interested more in, like, you know, picnic tables, a clearing, a park type environment, but not like an actual bigger setting. But there's an awful lot of land back there that's right up against the trail that, you know, but it doesn't really benefit him as a car dealer, you know. If it was another type of business there that saw the benefit, you could really do something much bigger there.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Get him to be a bar owner, too. I'm sorry.
Seems like he's doing a drive.
He's encouraged.
Bicycle traffic.
All right, so moving on to reviewing of the minutes. From last month, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any development updates, Neil?
The only thing new since our last meeting, I think, is I have an application in for Favar now to expand their campus on Commerce Drive. There's an article almost a year ago now in the paper about them getting a grant to do additional development in their area and expand their facility. So that went through Wetlands last month. I haven't looked at it yet for planning and zoning, but it is scheduled for next, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. So I don't know what that means as far as additional employment, things like that yet, but I'll look into it a little bit more.
Are they considered nonprofit?
Yeah.
Does that mean that?
They're not taxed the same as a regular commercial business.
And they're looking to build a new building or add on to that existing one? I did see the zoning sign outside.
Yeah, I think, I don't honestly, I can't remember off the top of my head if it's a new building or an expansion of the existing one. I think it's a new building. But I have to open up the plan. So
they've got structures on both sides.
And then up and further across the Bear Woods, they've got a recreational.
Yeah, facility. And this would be between the recreational facility and their main building.
So do they own all the undeveloped land up there?
Not all, but
a good chunk.
They've been buying up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they put in, you know, living facilities. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're substantial.
Okay. I saw behind CVS. I mean, you drive by, you can see it. It's
starting to go up.
It's going vertical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to remind Barry.
And then I think Shake Shack is opening within a month.
Yeah.
And then that Wonder Place, the sign is up. Yep. So that'll be at some point soon. Bird Code?
No, I haven't heard anything since the last meeting. So Actually, there's communication I received while I was out prompting me again. This is from the CEO saying, okay, we're about to issue an enforcement action against a sign. And they literally came in the day we were running it and had almost a makeshift pre-construction meeting with us. And then they disappeared. So the CEO reached out to them probably like 3 weeks ago and said, hey, what's going on? I got a quick, simple response, but then nothing. So I got a message last week kind of saying, yeah, I think we need to take the action now since we haven't seen any progress. So we'll see what happens. But
tell them that we went all the way to New Britain last night
to get their
chicken, and they forgot the vinegar slaw. So I've got it in for them.
Yeah. We had them in our
serious. They're good.
Yeah. I was talking to a guy that works there. He said they're working on Glastonbury now. Uh-huh. I asked him, like, what's going on with Canton? He's like, oh, we're coming to Canton right after we finish Glastonbury, is what he told me. He was a delivery guy.
Okay. Well,
hey.
Take it for what it's worth.
Yeah. That's right. Is it Glastonbury a new construction?
It sounds like it. And that's supposed to be done in September, is what he told me. Again, I didn't fact check it or anything. But
I'd love to know, like, how they pick and choose the pecking order of project.
But it was good, though. First time I had
it. Oh, it is good stuff.
I mean, it'd be one thing if they said they were coming and they're shutting down other businesses in other towns, but they're actually creating businesses in other towns. So it's got to be a good sign. It's just kind of, I guess we're all envious that it's why them and not us right now. And, you know, why did they open in New York City before us, or, you know, in Florida before us, and in Glastonbury for us, and in Cheshire before us, and, you know.
Yeah.
But they're paying their rents and they're paying their taxes, so.
Is there an expiration date on permits or any zoning rulings or anything like that?
We did have to research for them that at their last meeting, and they actually, we thought they had expired, and turned out they got the benefit of one of those pandemic statutes that gave everything automatic extensions for zoning purposes. But the building application, my understanding is they have to start again from scratch, that's no longer good, and the building official want a new permit submission for building permit. Okay. So.
About that O'Reilly inquiry?
I didn't hear anything back since that correspondence, and we sent them what they're looking for. And I haven't heard anything back yet.
Was that for import trim?
No, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Auto Parts. Near KFC, right in that plaza?
Yeah, and 250 Albany Turnpike. Mm-hmm. Individual from the organization reached out asking for basically zoning compliance review for that property for their business. So.
Okay. And what about the auction house?
That should have sold while I was out. My understanding was that there was a closing date set, I think, for the first week of July, actually. My last meeting with the purchaser was they're moving forward and they're very excited to be doing the project. So I haven't heard anything since I've been out, though. So.
Does anyone have any intel on the two buildings in Collinsville? The one next to the historical museum, and then the one right next to LaSalle that was in foreclosure or heading towards foreclosure.
As far as I know, I don't know. I don't have anything on either one. I haven't heard of anybody, taking a bite on that commercial property on 10 Front Street, and the history on the other building is we get right up to the very end, and all of a sudden there's a cashier's check.
Gotcha.
It covers it, and I don't see any change in that pattern.
Yeah.
A lot of people have wanted that building.
Yeah, it's a great surprise on it.
For the office building on Front Street, I think if I reported this last month, let me know. But the only inquiry I've had so far at the help desk was somebody looking at it for a potential to redevelop as a bunch of Airbnb suites.
Yeah.
So, which, different, but I don't know if it's bad. I mean, at some point, you have tourists coming out, and now they become overnight tourists, and maybe, you get more tourists turning over. It's somewhat low impact, but it's, always a shame sometimes to lose a commercial building for a residential building, but it's still also a commercial activity of leasing space to other people, so I don't know if it's not the worst thing. Might actually, be a good thing.
Economics would be really tough because they just
right.
You don't have the room. You don't have the room night statistics to justify it.
Yeah.
If we could get the Airbnb operators in town to give us some stats. That could be good for everybody.
Yeah.
And so we can know how many people right. are coming
how
to town.
How do you project the cash flow on that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's good cash flow. Somebody who wants to put in any kind of a hotel needs to know how many people are coming right. into the area and staying overnight.
It's hard for me to think it would have a positive net operating income at its current sales price unless you are buying it for cash and, you know, just holding it more like an annuity than an actual net operating return.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not even built out for that. I mean, it would have to be.
Not at all.
At least the floor that I was on wasn't built out for that.
No.
Do we have a lot of Airbnb operators in?
There's a few. There's a few. I think there's more than you would think, but they're tucked away. You know, they look like regular houses.
Yeah.
I think East Street. There's a few.
Right. We allow them under zoning. We figured it was a good thing at the time we did that. Again, we're looking to have more people. You know, tourists. There'll be a point where that goes a different way with too many units being taken out of the market and not being used as residents, but I don't think we're anywhere close to that.
No. But it would be good. I mean, the upstairs of from LaSalle, those are both Airbnbs. And the Tilney sisters have a number of units in their respective plans, Airbnb units. I think Russell Bush has them. And then there's a few others. I know.
Yeah, the one across the street from me, Center Street.
Yeah.
It's constantly occupied.
Yeah. That's a Bush property.
What's the four-story condo?
Valley House?
What's it called?
Valley House.
Yeah, or any of those Airbnb? I don't know.
Could be, but I don't know. They're condo units that get... You know, where there's a lot of leasing. Yeah. The condo owners actually lease them out to other people.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we could do something. If we could surround the Frontier property with Airbnb units. I mean, because their actual footprint of operable equipment in there, it's a switching facility. I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the actual operating part of it is probably about an eighth of what it was when they first went in there.
Right.
You know, so if we could like surround it, because that was a commercial street, a big time commercial street, and turn it into something.
Well, that office building that's for sale, if they were to do some sort of Airbnb, I'd love to see the ground floor be commercial.
That's a great ground floor.
Yeah.
The first floor, it's awesome. Yeah. Absolutely awesome.
Well, so what's the ground floor? The one below the ground or the one above the ground?
I would say both. My preference would be both.
Right. Yeah. The the walkout lower level and the upper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's one of those older, has a stoop, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, I keep thinking of Thorne's Market, But that, I think, is more like for Town Hall.
That's another, I don't know, Town Hall, I'd love that. I've said in the past, I don't know, if there's space to consolidate on upper floors, but to have the street level and below be
Original. Yeah. I mean, that whole building that's on Main Street was retail.
Yeah.
And the Valley Town Hall was actually
back. And Town Hall was still there? Or Town Hall was somewhere else?
Town Hall was like that. The building that's on Market Street with the big entrance.
Yeah.
That was it, that building. And then a connector portion was actually, just installed, built to connect the two.
There are two separate buildings there. The Main Street side wasn't the Town Hall.
Yeah, at all. And we had HVAC problems like you wouldn't believe. It's a real hodgepodge of a building.
Elevator, all sorts of issues.
I mean, to me, it's like, I'm sure the town doesn't want to be in the business of being a commercial landlord, but there's some potential revenue opportunities there, and you can go with that. Oh my God, you make it such the connectivity between the businesses before and after, and just increasing like the livelihood of that whole street. Yeah. You fill that up with establishments.
Or just sell it to the operator and
lease it back.
And lease it back and go somewhere else.
That one's a little bit above my pay grade. Maybe you should do a board of selectmen agenda submission form for that.
I would. I'm sure I would be chastised by members of the public, but
I think on
social media, I when the old firehouse was still, wasn't demolished yet.
Yeah.
I said, well, maybe we should pursue moving town hall there and selling the existing building and having someone come in and do apartments above and commercial down below. And people don't like my clever ideas.
I thought it was very clever.
I think it's a great idea.
But again, your longevity was definitely in question there.
Anyway, POCD update. We got that.
Yeah. So coming up. Last month, one thing the committee did was they actually authorized the RFP to hire a professional consultant. So that was authorized. Went then to the administration to review, and I haven't seen anything back of it yet. So I got to follow up on that. That's one of my last things to do. And then the second thing is EDA's invited to present at the July meeting, which is the last Monday of July.
Do they meet here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the last meeting in July.
Yep. So I'll have this monitor keyed up. Although, just so you know, I've been having trouble connecting laptops to the HDMI cable, and the only one that seems to work consistently is the OWL laptop in the closet. So if you want to do a presentation using that screen, I'll probably want to have a thumb drive or give it to me and I'll
send. I can send it to you in advance.
And then if you want to run it from here and talk, that's fine. But just it'll probably be stationed here to make that work.
Okay. Yeah, if anyone's available and wants to come, and that'd be awesome.
I'll definitely be there.
Yeah. No, I think that's very.
If you want to tag team it,
yeah,
I'd be happy to work with you on it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the date of that?
27th.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Conservation Commission would be the feature in August, if anybody's interested in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait, I'm sorry, say that part of it?
The Conservation Commission would be the feature in August, where EDA is a feature in July.
I see.
We've invited Conservation to present, their work as well. So the update committee members, a lot of them are, new, or I wouldn't say new, but they're not on other land use commissions like you guys are, where you kind of hear a lot more, perhaps, I don't know. But I just make sure everybody's aware of what all the different boards are doing that the committee members should have exposure to before we kind of begin this process.
I'll update the data in the economics one. It's a little stale. I don't think takeaways are going to change, but if you want to take that one and I'll do the survey.
Sure. Yeah.
If that works, and then we could chime in. Respect in each respective.
Yeah. Well, I think that'd be perfect. Yeah.
So I'll update it and I'll send it to you so you can get your eyes on it. Any other comments, gripes?
I'm going to be out of town last week of July and the first week of August.
Okay.
So we'll not be around first week of August either.
Okay. Anything else? First, so that would be like the EDA meeting. Yeah. Anyone, so that's two. Anyone else? You'll be here.
Okay. Probably here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll send out an email as we get closer just to make sure we have a quorum. Yeah.
Do we have any applicants for the existing open EDA member?
I thought we did. Yeah. But apparently, I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
Okay.
Someone applied, I believe.
Yeah. As we were trying to push Jay.
But apparently, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. There's an appointment committee this morning that was canceled. I don't know if anybody had been scheduled. Or
whether he pulled it or whether, I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Who was that?
So we have an open spot.
Okay.
Someone Tom knows was interested in it.
Yeah.
Good background. I thought he'd be a good fit. I encouraged him to apply, and I know he did.
Yeah.
But. Hmm. I don't know what happened.
I'll shoot him a message.
Yeah, see if it was him or
if he's interested. he could just join us too, and just and see if he likes it.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was, you know, something on the town side. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
But I thought he would have been here already.
Have you got his tax bill? I did get mine today.
Yeah. I've seen several of you at the farmer's market, and you're seeing stuff, so that's good. I can tell you that it's extremely active.
That's great.
Extremely active.
That's great.
You know, I would say we're the number of vendors who have actually shown up at this point, about 20% less than what we will have in about 2 weeks.
Oh wow!
I mean, we have like almost a waiting list of people who want to come in.
That's
farmers
great.
Market.
That's great. Is there any way you could expand the footprint, like across the street to that? Or do you need that part for parking?
I think across the street might be a good idea, but we'd have to fiddle around with Gary.
Or even up the street. They close it on Saturdays.
Yeah, but right? I'll tell you, up the street, it's an interesting conundrum. You know, the visibility is such a strong thing. We get that pottery studio. We get more traffic because of them, because they're right out at Bridge Street. Without that, it's less.
Right.
You know, and a number of the vendors have told me that, you know, I said, geez, we're thinking about taking over Main Street. And they said, keep the parking lot too, because otherwise they won't, if it's on Main Street, they won't see it. People won't see it. And it's striking how many people don't even know that the farmer's market exists.
Yeah.
Have not been taking the turn into Collinsville at all. Oh, what's that? I mean, really, it's striking.
Do you guys have signs on like 179 heading into town?
No, it's
that might not be a bad idea either.
It's worked. I mean, so far we're up to like 1,500 people on a Sunday.
Each Sunday? Wow, that is decent.
Yeah. That's a good number.
It'll be. It's not very quite yet, but when corn comes in, about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. It'll be there. It'll be there all the way through Labor Day.
It's nice to see Bristol's is a member now.
And they, well, the funny thing is, their grandfather started it.
The farmer's market?
The farmer's market.
Because weren't they weren't part of it for a while.
Yeah, they weren't. They weren't. Huh. They kept applying and they kept getting tossed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was, I think they had one, the people who were running it didn't want to have more than one vendor of a product. So they did a very product specific. And the way we've run it is just like, you know, we'll try to not crowd the market, you know, like we won't have like half a dozen cookie vendors, you know, that kind of thing. But we'll have two or three because different bakers, different cookies, you know. But yeah.
Nothing wrong with some competition either.
Well, it's different, and it also gets people going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great. That's good to hear. It's so successful.
Yeah. The people really like it.
Do you notice you're getting people from different parts of the state now, more so than a couple years ago?
I wouldn't say that. It's been very consistent. If you have people who are coming into the area, you know, for, you know, spending a weekend or something, or just traveling up.
Yeah.
They're there. We've had people from Saybrook. We've had people from downstate, like Bridgeport area and stuff. But it's mostly Avon, Burlington, New Hartford, Farmington, Simsbury. That's the bulk of it. And I would say it's Canton people are less than 50%. Kind of similar to the shops.
Right.
You have a rough idea of how much are weekly reoccurring, just like they come there for their weekly groceries, so to speak, as opposed to people that are just, you know, one time in and out trying to get the experience of going to a farmer's market?
I would say that the weeklies are dominant.
Yeah.
People are, it's a lot of repeat traffic.
Good.
How many of them are, you know, they just go to LaSalle's and decide to walk down to it? Like they didn't intend to go to the farmer's market.
I don't know, but it's kind of like a package, you know. We got a huge bump in traffic when the bike trail came through,
because
people were coming up the bike trail and they saw it. the LaSalle's thing? You know, if they're coming to LaSalle's, they know the market.
It was kind of the other way when it first started was come the farmer's market drew people into the Collinsville for the idea of, okay, then they come here and see what other businesses are around and get them to come out and then go up the street and go to LaSalle's or other businesses. So.
Yeah. It's been helpful for the people across the street and also for the shop, a couple of shops that are in the Axe Factory, like Kismet. You know, they make sure to have stuff out in front of their shop. But the legit people, the artist collective before them, a couple of weekends, they would put tables out and do things. And I'm going to be talking to the legit people about doing something similar. It's like, guys,
right.
You know, you got a ton of people here, and they will cross Bridge Street to come see you. So just, you know, it's a ready market. Go for it.
We've got a button now.
Yeah.
It's paved. It's paved.
It is paved. It's unbelievable. Yeah, no more ruts. God, going through puddles. Yeah. Anyway, I'll move we adjourn.
Yep, 7:30 on the dot. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.